Modern life is brewing with conflict as never before, from divisive party politics to the spread of terrorism, to a divorce rate that has risen by 40% since 1980, to backstabbing at the office. But we get so mired in conflict that we don't step outside ourselves to ask what causes it, why we compulsively get stuck in the same conflict again and again, and why we rarely find resolution. In the new book, Negotiating the Non-Negotiable, How to Resolve Your Most Emotionally Charged Conflicts, Daniel Shapiro reveals how we can better resolve and prevent conflicts by understanding the unconscious forces that cause them. Again, the title of the book is Negotiating the Non-Negotiable. Daniel Shapiro is founder and director of the Harvard International Negotiation Program, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Daniel, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here on your show.
Always nice to have you on the program.
Oh, thank you.
At what point did you want to address this particular situation of negotiating something that most of us think isn't possible?
Early on. You know, I've been working around the world now, way back to when Yugoslavia was imploding and so on, and saying, boy, there has to be a better way that we deal with our differences. And so many of these situations around the world, whether it's there or present-day circumstance, even family conflicts, they so often feel non-negotiable, and yet more often than not, they're not. They are negotiable.
And you point out in the book that they are usually resolvable if you simply shift your mindset with an approach, and I guess the question is, what is that approach? But also, is that easier said than done, of shifting your entire mindset?
Oh, it's one of the hardest things to do. Absolutely. What happens, what our research has shown, is that as people get into conflict, they all often fall into this mindset, this trapped mindset, which I call the tribes effect. And this is a mindset of me versus you, us versus them. So, Joe, you and I could be best friends, and all of a sudden you say something that offends me on some level, the space moves between us, there's a distance between us, it's me versus you, and no matter what you say or no matter what I say, that mindset is quite sticky. It's hard to get it off.
The old saying of time heals all wounds, how true is that? And when you were negotiating, you were pushing that time frame, right? So
Yeah. How
does that work?
Well, I think people often assume that time is the answer to everything. Just wait. You know, just wait, and someday those Israelis and Palestinians will fix their issues. Just wait, and someday you and your divorced, spouse are going to heal. I think there is truth to that. Waiting can be useful. And yet at the same time, what can you be doing now to help improve the situation in your own life, the challenge, the conflict that's in your life? You know, so in the Israeli-Palestinian case, as an example again, you know, even though there's a lot of grievance and animosity on each side of the conflict, there's still a lot that one could do now, bringing sides privately together to better understand one another. And the same is true in the family context as well. If there's a lot of grievance, maybe you're not ready to talk about the most deeply heated issue yet, but perhaps you might start moving forward with a small gesture of reconciliation.
You make an interesting point in the book that human conflict has been around since the beginning of us. And what's different is if at one point, yes, relationships are relationships, but
yeah.
In the old days you have a sword fight, one, two, possibly taken. Nowadays, we're talking about humanity at risk.
Yes, it's a wholly different scenario now. The mindset is the same. It's me versus you. It's us versus them. The scope, the gravity of conflict is enormous now. The inability for us to deal with some of these conflicts in the international realm can mean life or death for hundreds of thousands to millions of people, as we're seeing in our world. So one bomb in the hands of the wrong people is serious business. It didn't used to be like this. That was part of the motivation for writing this book, is that we need new tools to deal with the nature of conflict in our world.
When you look at this idea of negotiating the impossible,
yeah,
how much of it is we have to change our mindset, but obviously they have to change their mindset. So how do you take the lead and make that, because ultimately you're trying to build trust, right?
Yeah. No, I think people unfairly disempower themselves in conflict situations. They often think, oh, this is hopeless. That other person that I'm in conflict with, she or he is irrational. And you throw up your hands and say, they're never going to change, so I'm not going to change either. You end up in this emotional stalemate when, in fact, it only takes one to change the dynamic of the relationship. So, for example, in negotiating the non-negotiable, one of the concepts I talk about is this thing I've researched, I've built, I call it vertigo. It's this notion that you just get so emotionally consumed in a conflict that you can think of nothing else but that evil other person you are in conflict with. And it might be at work, you get into the conflict, you go home at the end of the day, and there your spouse is with the kids, and you're there in body, but your mind is still reeling about what happened at work. And it can be just as true, vertigo can strike at home with something your family member says, a teenager strikes you the wrong way, you go to work, but you're in vertigo, you're still really emotionally at home. Now, how do you deal with vertigo? One of the simplest things one can do, be aware of it and decide, do you really want to go there? You know, so my wife and I, let's say, get into a conflict over who knows what, and all of a sudden we start, you know, our voices start getting louder, the emotion starts getting thrown back and forth. Now, in my head, I see a decision. Do I want to go toward vertigo? Do I want to go toward that crazy world of arguing or not? And my wife and I both know this concept, and we, one of us, usually, you know, one or the other of us, simply then says, well, hold on, I feel us going toward vertigo right now. Do we really want to waste this afternoon going there? And sometimes the answer is yes, but more than often than not, it's no, let's just talk about the issue, and 2 minutes later, we're done. But it only takes one to recognize some of these dynamics and to start to steer that ship in a different direction.
You do talk about in the book that those steps of getting out of vertigo is, one, is just very important to name it and to tell yourself, okay, I'm getting into this, and yeah, now I have the option to step outside of it.
Absolutely. In fact, I was in the Middle East last week working with some Israeli and Palestinian diplomats, shared with them this concept of vertigo. I got an email a few days ago from one of those participants. She tells me she was in a meeting with people from both sides of the conflict. Sensitive issues emerged. She said, I saw that little swirling tornado of vertigo coming toward me, meaning toward her. And she asked herself that beautiful question, do I really want to go there? And she said, I decided not to, and we had a much more productive conversation.
One of the key words in the book is rationality, and you talk about how conflict is not just a rational problem. So where does rationality come into it, and how does it, as you point out in the book, almost always fails at solving conflicts?
Yes. Well, I think rationality is important, but it's not enough. So you have a couple arguing over finances. The one says, you know, you're spending too much this month. The other says, no, you're an idiot. We need that stuff. They get into an argument. They can try and rationally problem solve that all they want. Well, let's split the, you know, let's talk about the spreadsheet in our family, this or that. They're skirting the issue. The issue there is not about money. It's about respect. It's about human connection. It's about the feeling of being able to make decisions without your spouse telling you what to do. Autonomy. And if they don't start looking at this deeper emotional level to their conflict, they might be able to solve this one problem. But boy, their dynamic is going to continue, increase, and dig them into a deeper and deeper hole.
When you consider all of these various problems and issues that can come up, you do talk in the book about terrorism. So negotiating terrorism, first of all, is how possible is that? And also is, I mean, it seems to me, and I know we have a very broad spectrum here, but that's different than a marital spat, obviously.
On many levels, yes. You know, and although my book is called Negotiating the Non-Negotiable, there are certainly conditions in which one cannot negotiate or probably shouldn't try to negotiate. You know, if someone comes storming into your office complex with a gun and starts shooting, my suggestion, run, hide, you know, or have the whole office storm that person if the shooting's already started. You know, that's not the moment to negotiate. However, oftentimes, you know, these terrorists don't just appear out of nowhere. They've been indoctrinated into their own belief systems. That belief system they see as sacred. Those around them are supporting their belief system and so on. It's the, you know, it's the 2 years before they go and do the reprehensible act that they do that is the moment of opportunity. You know, to the extent that international intelligence agencies and human beings who might be suspicious of, you know, of an alienated neighbor, the moment, you know, that's the time you want to try and take action. Better understand what's driving them toward alienation, why they're feeling that way, and to just try and sort of bring them back into, you know, the more dominant communities, away from these alienated communities. I mean, another example, for somebody who's suffering or who's moving toward terrorist activity, where are they getting that belief from? It's often from some religious leader. Well, if we could influence the thinking of those religious leaders, making taboo the use of violence on religious grounds, it's much less likely then that 16-year-old is going to take up arms and do some awful act against Americans or somebody else. These aren't easy solutions, but to expect that we can bomb away every single terrorist is, you know, that's an illusion. It's not reality.
As we wrap up, I think one of the points that you make beautifully in the book is that working through conflict is just that. It takes work. There's nothing instantaneous to it.
That's right. So the book is not a quick fix. It's a real fix. You know, I think people often think, boy, my situation is non-negotiable. You can negotiate the non-negotiable. And my last point, Joe, is the most powerful tool I know to help people deal with difficult conflicts, appreciate that other side's perspective to the extent that they feel heard and understood and valued, whether that's at home, at work, in the international realm, try it today. And I've worked with heads of state, with CEOs of top companies, with families in crisis. The moment that other side starts to feel appreciated for their perspective, their emotional experience, that's the moment they go, okay, Joe, now let's go out for dinner, you know?
Do you ever completely, even though you have hit, you've negotiated something and you have a settlement, a resolution,
yeah,
do you ever really get over it?
Well, for some people, probably yes. For other people, no. In the book, I talk about this tension that we all tend to have between redemption, you know, getting over it, and revenge, you know. So, I mean, again, back to my wife and myself, you know, we might solve a problem, but if either of us feels that there was even the slightest bit of mistreatment, there's that little tickle within us which says, got to get them back, and it comes out in a sarcastic statement or something. I mean, if there's one side you want to win, my suggestion, focus on redemption. Revenge, you're just going to go downward, you know, deeper and deeper into that cycle of conflict. But at the end of the day, I do think we're human beings. We're going to feel that instinct of emotion that pulls us toward the negative just as much as we know the positive direction. In negotiating the non-negotiable, what I'm really trying to do is say there are all of these unconscious forces pulling you down toward the negative. Here they are. Here's how you can deal with them. Now it's much easier to move toward the light. Revenge doesn't win.
The name of the book, Negotiating the Non-Negotiable, How to Resolve Your Most Emotionally Charged Conflicts. Daniel Shapiro is our guest, founder and director of the Harvard International Negotiation Program. Daniel, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It's great to talk with you.
A great pleasure. Thank you. Again, the title of the book is Negotiating the Non-Negotiable. It is published by Viking by Daniel Shapiro. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.